COVID-19 has forced many nonprofit organizations to make tough business decisions on survival over welfare service. Head of Social Impact and Senior Lecturer on Business in Society at the University of Stellenbosch's Business School, Dr. Armand Bam, says the recent announcement by the Cape Peninsula Organization for the Aged, the CPOA, to close three of its welfare homes for the elderly has drawn attention to the worsening state and plight of many NPOs in our country. He joins us on the line to discuss this further. Dr. Bam, good morning and welcome to The Weekend View.
Good morning, Guru.
Good to have you on. I spoke in the intro of the CPOA, which is an absolute institution in the Cape, but broader than that, do we know how many other NPOs have shut shop, so to speak, as a result of COVID?
We don't know an exact number yet, Udo, but there's over 221,000 nonprofit organizations in the country, and that's at least the ones that are registered. But we're starting to see the cracks appear in terms of the impact of the pandemic. And anecdotally, people are reaching out to say, what is it that we can do to continue to survive? So we're starting to hear, but the CPOA story is really one that I think that's become public and showing what's actually happening on the ground.
Well, let's drill a little bit deeper, as you have, into the CPOA story, because they work partly for profit, and then there's well, not for profit, but they will sell off apartments, but they will also provide apartments to the elderly who are completely destitute. Their problems don't come as of the 26th of March, 2020, it's been a long while that there's been a downward spiral. But you're saying for an organization like this, COVID was sort of just the death knell.
Yeah. So when you look at it, at the top end of the CPOA offerings, it provides life-right retirement apartments at a cost of approximately 2 million rand per unit. You know, and so those are services that can be accessed by a privileged few. And what they do in return is, as they're selling off those units, they take the profits and they plow it back into the welfare services. And so when you look at the homes in Bonthevel and Heidelberg and Bishop Lavers, they would have benefited from the sales of units and kept them running.
The reality is that where NPOs close down, ultimately the burden down the line is most likely going to fall on the public, because if the private sector is not there to catch, government at some point will have to intervene and support those left destitute, isn't it?
It's correct. And not to exclude business in this, as the social sector fails, the two remaining sectors, public and private, are going to have to foot the bill. That's the reality of the situation. And so what it does show is the value of the social sector. And I'll use a good example where it is that we see an organization such as the Gift of the Givers being able to deliver all the services that we'd expect government and also businesses to be able to assist with during this pandemic. As a good example of how it is that the non-profit sector or organizations in that sector are able to deliver services.
Ultimately, though, and there'll be people who are opposed to this given their economic views, but ultimately, something like COVID, it is inevitable that it's going to force the social welfare net to widen as government picks up the slack for where organizations simply cannot survive. Is that sustainable?
No. In 2019, we spent 15% of our national budget on social development, and that's only increasing. And there is a dire problem for all of us, because where does government get its money? It gets it from tax collection. Yeah. Where do businesses get their money? They get it from sales. And so when you curtailing business and the government's ability to collect taxes, who else has to foot that bill? It comes back to us as citizens. So either we do it in our voluntary capacity or in some ways that money is going to be squeezed out of us as business tries to maximize its profit through sales, or government tries to implement different ways of taxing the citizens.
Which way should we go?
Well, I think there needs to be a rebalancing of society. Mm. Government, business, and the non-profit sector need to work hand in hand. And that requires that those who sit in power in business and in government, they need to look at the social sector differently. And we need transformational type of engagement with these organizations and not transactional, where it's just a matter of trying to send some money towards those organizations. But there needs to be collective decision making. And I think that is key. We need to go to the communities and ask them what are the issues that they are struggling with. There's no point in asking people how it is that, to solve hunger when it is that you don't actually know what hunger looks like. Mm. And I think that is key. We need to go into those communities. We need to understand the problems from the perspective of those who are suffering under those conditions.
You know, you spoke about the 221 non-profit organizations across South Africa. I think maybe the starting point should be somebody doing a post-COVID or while COVID is underway audit of just the state of NPOs generally.
Yeah, there's a couple of studies that are running at the moment. Myself, I'm also looking at the impact of COVID on these non-profit organizations, but it's still going to be a while before it is that we actually get a good sense of what has happened. But beyond that, I think, you know, it doesn't only have to be left to academics to understand.
Yeah, yeah.
Those who are leading this country need to stop, pause, and have a look at what is happening on the ground within communities. It's wonderful that we talk about trying to uplift small businesses and making special COVID funds available. But just last week, people were still standing in queues waiting for disability grants. So there's a disconnect throughout the system. We talk a good talk, but when it comes to the implementation, it's clearly not working.
Dr. Armin Bam, it's been an absolute pleasure listening to you this morning. Thank you very much for your time on The Weekend View.